Buckeye Extra is brought to you by the Columbus Springs Hospitals, changing people's lives by providing addiction and mental health treatment for adults, adolescents, and children through two Columbus-based hospitals and an outpatient service clinic. Columbus Springs Hospitals. There's hope. There's help. For full information, visit hopeincolumbus.com. Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Tim May and Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, football fans of all ages. This is another Ohio State football podcast on the Columbus Dispatch, brought to you by Columbus Springs Hospitals and Rosati Windows. This is Tim May along with
Bill Rabinowitz.
Oh, Bill, it's the middle of summer, the dog day, some would say. In essence, a little bit of inactivity, but nothing really stops with Ohio State football when you really get right down to it anymore. And as you reported last week, Ohio State, or earlier this week, Ohio State got another commitment to his 2019 class. Recruiting certainly never stops. So tell us a little bit about Kane Patterson, the kid who committed earlier this week.
Yeah, he's a linebacker from Tennessee, kind of more, from what I understand, kind of an inside linebacker, tough guy, certainly enough speed to play sideline to sideline, but just another member of another great recruiting class. I mean, they keep building these four-star, five-star guys. He's a four-star guy. I feel very good about him. The train keeps rolling.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The train, it keeps picking up more cars at every sighting, it looks like. And bottom line is they've got five guys committed to the 2020 class already. And what does that make, 14 or 15 to the 2019 class, which is, right. I think, now rated in the top 10 somewhere, the 2020 class. If you're into the rating situation this early in a game, is in the top three in the nation, depending on where you're looking. But it is amazing, even in the, what do you want to call it, the dead period or something, good news keeps rolling in for the Buckeyes, right?
Well, yeah, because the recruiting never stops. I mean, that's something that Urban Meyer has drilled into his assistants, and certainly he believes it. He's a head coach. You know, some of these head coaches kind of take a hands-off approach to some degree and then kind of go into the, you know, for close. He's involved all the way. He is all in, and he expects, obviously, the assistants to be all in, and it pays off. I mean, he's a very persuasive guy. He's got a product that he can sell, and they do.
Yeah, to reiterate what Jim Tressel said a long time ago about recruiting, and it applies to Urban Meyer, I think, to a certain extent. He goes, recruiting and shaving go hand in hand. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, you miss one day and you look like a bum. So,
yeah, exactly.
And clearly Ohio State has that approach under Urban Meyer. You know, past that, you know, we talked in depth about the defense last week when we were talking about what's coming up in 2018 for the Ohio State Buckeyes. And, you know, I'd like today, after we have a word from one of our sponsors here in a second, I would like today to talk about the offense and kind of the direction it could be going under the direction of Dwayne Haskins Jr. But before that, Columbus Springs Hospitals, with two hospitals and an outpatient services clinic, Columbus Springs Hospitals is helping to change people's lives every day. With skilled counselors and compassionate caregivers, they provide effective patient treatment in addiction and mental health for adults, adolescents, and children. Visit ColumbusSprings.com today and find out more about each of their locations. There's hope. There's help at Columbus Springs Hospitals, and we certainly appreciate their support. Past that, Bill, you know, as I was on a couple of radio shows earlier this week, even though I'm on vacation, basically the work never stops for me, even on vacation. I feel sort of like a football coach in that regard. But bottom line is, I was talking with one fellow in particular, and he was asking me what's going to be different about the offense with Dwayne Haskins, and I equated it to this. I mean, the last several years, JT Barrett's been that dual threat. You had to respect him as much in the running game as you did the passing game. With Dwayne Haskins Jr., they could have 2,000-yard backs on the field at the same time with Mike Weber and J.K. Dobbins. But I think with Dwayne Haskins Jr., the threat increases in the passing game from the standpoint of this guy can throw every pass. He can threaten every corner, every inch of the field, I do believe, based on what we've seen of him in practice and a little bit we've seen of him in games. And I think that's really, I think it adds another dimension to the spread the field concept, to the spread offense of Urban Meyer.
Yeah, there's no question that, you know, they're going to play to his strengths, and his strengths are a passer. He can run when necessary. He'll scramble if he needs to. But I think you're going to see a lot fewer of the kind of RPOs where he's going to tuck it and run like JT Barrett liked to do, especially in those third down situations with an empty backfield. I think now when it's third down and empty backfield, he's going to distribute the ball. He's going to get rid of it, and only if it's wide open will he run. You're playing to your strengths.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is you're going to have to cover five receivers on every play when it's a passing play for Ohio State. It does appear five eligible receivers, and I think where Dwayne Haskins Jr. could be most effective in the running game is pulling it down and running, because we saw him do it last year in that when he made his grand debut against Michigan. That was his big play. It was the second biggest play of the game, probably after the pass he threw to Austin Mack to keep that drive alive when he first walked into the game. But the bottom line is he's effective enough of a runner to make you respect his running ability. But at the same time, I think he's going to be a good enough passer to make you, to a certain extent, maybe fear his passing ability. I mean, what stands out about him more than anything else about the way he throws the ball?
I think just his motion and the way the ball comes out, he throws like an NFL quarterback. He's just a very economical motion, a very strong. I mean, he can make every throw, as you said. The deep out that was not really part of JT Barrett's game, he can make that throw. The deep ball, which came and went under JT, mostly went. That's going to be a big part of their passing game, and you can see, you know, guys like Terrace Campbell and. I mean, all those guys. I mean, look, they've got six returning receivers. Their top six returning receivers are back. Their tight ends should be good, even though they lost Marcus Ball. That should be another element with whether it's Luke Farrell or Rashad Berry or Jeremy Ruckert we've talked about before, the freshman coming in, and obviously the running backs. So he's got plenty of weapons at his disposal, and it's just a matter of, I think the key to the offense, and it usually is the offensive line. You know, we don't know exactly what the configuration of that's going to be. If the offensive line can protect, it's going to be a pretty unstoppable offense, I think.
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber both shown they bought into the pass pro aspect of things, too, I think, which enhances the passing game. And yet they can sneak out of the backfield and catch balls or, you know, get involved in wheel routes and things like that. So, you know, I think it's going to be a multi-level across-the-field passing game. And I don't think that's hyperbole at all. I mean, I really think that Urban Meyer thinks this passing game could really mature under the leadership of Dwayne Haskins Jr. With that said, you know, Tate Martell, you know they're going to have a package for him. You just get that sense in the red zone. And by that, I mean either red zone. I think you could see him coming off the goal line as much as you could see him going into the goal line. And I think that will be a development to watch. And also whether Matthew Baldwin, the quarterback from Texas, from Lake Travis High School, how sound he is physically going into camp. He's expected to be 100%, I do believe, coming off that knee surgery from back in December. But he's expected to be 100%, and they will, you know, you'll definitely eyes will be on his development, because obviously you got to have three quarterbacks anymore. Just look around the country, just look in the Big Ten, you know, what's happened to Ohio State in the past several years, what happened at Michigan last year. You've got to have three quarterbacks who can at least get the job done in some form or fashion.
And that's where the new redshirt rule really will come into play, because in past years, if you let Matthew Baldwin play at all, you burned a year of eligibility. Now they can play for four games. And that's going to be huge to get those young guys like Baldwin playing time, so that if God forbid something happens to Haskins and Martell, you have a guy that maybe, you know, has some experience instead of a guy who's coming in completely unknown and inexperienced. So I think that redshirt rule is going to be huge for Baldwin, and that goes obviously around the country. And I think it's a great rule. The idea that, first of all, it gives these guys motivation to kind of stay involved, keep their head in the game when they know, yeah, I can actually play. I'm sure it's tough for Tate Martell to know that, barring a catastrophe, he was not going to play last year. He was going to be a scout team guy. I mean, it's a lot easier to keep these guys mentally involved and physically sharp if they know there's a chance they can play.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying is opens up all these extra windows for guys. And with that said, you know, you have to stand behind a statement like, quote, the best buying experience in the business, end quote. At Rosati Windows, their commitment to the customer has not changed since day one. Mike Rosati realizes that people have options when choosing replacement windows, which is why he appreciates each and every one of their customers. At Rosati Windows, Orlando's, they pride themselves on their very high standards of business ethics and customer satisfaction. They're accredited with an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, a top business with consumer choice, and voted by Central Ohio as the best in business in the window category with the Columbus Dispatch. The list goes on and on, but it's important to point out that their customers voted for Rosati Windows for these awards, and it's why they can make a statement like, quote, Rosati Windows is the best buying experience in the business, end quote. Of course, that's a paid advertisement read by yours truly, Tim May, but we definitely appreciate the support from Rosati Windows. You know, the interesting thing about what you just said, though, about the red shirt rule is, I was talking with Urban Meyer about this a little bit, like a month or so ago. You know, you can also keep guys kind of happy a little bit because red shirt years, you know, some guys kind of, even on big time teams, some guys kind of lose that focus a little bit. But if you know there's a chance you're going to play or that you're going to play, you know, there's, I think it perks you up through practice, et cetera. And, you know, four games, that's a lot of games when you really get right down to it.
No question. And Ohio State, you figure they're going to have opportunities. You look at the schedule, Oregon State, the first game, Ohio State's going to be a prohibitive favorite. You got Tulane. You got games that if you're one of those guys, you're circling that game and saying, that's my chance probably. And so it's a huge thing because, you know, look, remember when you were 18 years old and you're trying to get acclimated, the idea that you could actually play in the shoe and get some playing time and get your feet wet, boy, that'd be thrilling as opposed to, well, I'm just going to be a practice dummy. I think it's going to be a huge deal.
Yeah, I mean, practice dummy. My dad threatened to make my older brother, Ben, quit football one year when he thought that was what he was going to be. He goes, no son of mine is going to be a damn practice dummy. Anyway, he ended up playing a lot, so it turned out good for him, but that was in high school. But the bottom line is you're exactly right. I mean, it's kind of like holding the carrot in front of the horse and making him run a little bit faster. I mean, that's what you're going to see, I do believe, if it's done correctly. And like Urban Meyer said, you know, he hinted, you know, a couple of these guys may get in and play, get that little taste, and may show you, hey, they deserve to play more than what you maybe exactly thought they would. And so I think it's going to be interesting all the way around. And like you said, most of that experience, that four-game experience, you got to figure is going to come in Ohio Stadium because most of the guys you would think would be redshirted wouldn't be making road trips and being part of that roster, you know, that limited roster. But with that said, let me real quickly, we'll get out of here. Who, in your mind, who's the number one freshman that's in this 2018 freshman class that you think has a chance to make an impact by middle of the year or onward?
I'm going to say Jeremy Ruckert, just because that kind of weapon where a guy who's, I mean, I think I always think of him as Gesicki from Penn State. You know, obviously I haven't seen him play live.
That's right.
But that pass-catching threat down the field, down the seam, athletic, can run after the catch. And, yeah, they're going to need him to block, but they've got enough people to do that, that when they put him in, he can kind of specialize as a freshman, especially on what he does best. I'm really looking forward to that dimension.
Yeah, you know, I'm interested. This isn't the guy I'm naming, but I'm interested in seeing how Petit Freer comes along on that offensive line because, you know, you just get the idea they're not – super happy with their tackle play going into the season. You know, if you got Isaiah Prince back, you know, looks like he's probably going to end up a right tackle again, Thayer Munford, but at least getting into the two deep, I'm interested to see if Petit Freer makes a move in preseason camp if he's close to what he was ballyhooed to be, you know, coming the last big get in that 2018 class. But I'm interested in a guy like Josh Proctor, a kid from Owosso, Oklahoma. I know I've mentioned him a million times on this podcast, so here's a million and one. I'm just interested to see if he makes a move in preseason camp and shows to be that playmaker you think he could possibly be at safety if, in fact, that's where he ends up. There's a guy I've definitely got my eye on because they weren't happy with that other safety spot across from Jordan Fuller coming out of the spring. By happy, I mean, I don't think they were – they definitely weren't settled or satisfied. So interesting to watch, see if Isaiah Pryor steps up and just makes a declaration that is his spot, or whether or not a kid like Josh Proctor can step in there. And of course, I have my eye on Master Teague III, who, like they said, every day in spring ball, he seemed to get better and better, kind of like what they were saying about J.K. Dobbins a year ago. Now, how he would fit in as a running back, I mean, he's super quick, super fast. Whether they can fit him into the attack, you know, that remains to be seen. But a pair and a spare, as Archie Griffin used to call it about tailbacks at Ohio State, I think that applies in this scenario.
And they have that pretty much across the board, which is why this roster, I'm not going to say it's the most talented, that 2014-15 roster was pretty amazing. But this, in terms of talent, raw talent, is going to be up there. And it's just a matter of getting these guys experience, getting them in sync and playing to their potential. But you look at the talent on this team, the depth on this team, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We'll be back next week to talk about something else remarkable. We appreciate our sponsors, Columbus Springs Hospitals and Rosati Windows. We definitely do. But until then, this is Tim May.
And Bill Rabinowitz. Thanks for listening.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.